We're broadcasting from the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios. Middle Tennessee Electric, serving to make life better since 1936.
This is WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
In studio with us today, we have from Murfreesboro Fire and Rescue, Fire Chief Mark McCleskey. How are you this morning?
Doing good, Scott.
You have been with the fire department now for 40 years.
40 years. It don't seem like it, but yes, this week celebrated 40 years.
So when you look back, when you first started at the fire department, how much has it grown?
It's almost tripled in size since I've come to work back in 85. As far as personnel, it's grown a lot along with the city.
Did you ever envision it would be this big of a city, first of all, and then the fire department would be as big as it is?
No, never. Never really thought about it being this big. I can remember one of my firefighters coming in one day saying he hit the interstate to come to work, and that's when we'd opened Station 9 out on Kaysen Lane, and he lived out in the Walter Hill area and come down 840 and got on 24 to come to the station. It's like, man, you hit the interstate to come to work. Nobody does that, you know, and now it's a normal everyday thing.
It makes it sound like a bigger city when you say that.
It does.
What types of calls are you seeing the most of right now? Because you guys get a lot of calls.
We do. This time of the year, we have our space heater issues, you know, extension cords, people plugging space heaters into extension cords and other things. But this time of year, it's a lot of space heaters.
And there have been a lot of calls for sure. And when you get there, they're not always fires, though. I mean, sometimes they're just small electrical problems. And then, you know, I guess it's all over the map, though, as far as what you do see.
It is. Yeah, our response time's so quick, so we can a lot of times get there before the fire has a chance to grow to a large fire. So, and that's a good thing for us. We have all different types of calls. Like I was talking about this time of year, the space heaters, and also people turning their heat up higher, hadn't cleaned out around the area of the heat, just different things like that.
Fire departments and cities, counties all across the country, they are rated, I guess, depending on how fast they respond to a fire and what takes place. But what goes into that rating, and how closely do insurance companies across the country really look at those ratings?
Yeah, that's the ISO rating, which Murfreesboro is a number one. That's the best you can get. It affects the price of your insurance, homeowners, especially business. A lot of businesses look at that when they look to move, come to this city, what our ISO rating is, because, you know, naturally, the bigger the building, the more it's going to save them in insurance. But there is a whole lot that goes into that. Response time, like we just talked about, that has something to do with it. Your water system, the amount of training that we get, our equipment, there's just a whole lot we have to be checked off for to get that rating.
And when you look at the city of Murfreesboro and you look at all the growth that is happening here, how do you plan for that growth? Because, you know, there's going to be bigger buildings that pop up in years to come.
Yes, you just got to kind of look at the future. It's kind of, a balancing act, you know. It takes a while to build a station and hire the men to get them in here if you have a new building goes up. So you kind of stay with planning, see where the building's going to go, or predict where you need stations, population, which we're in the process of doing that right now with a couple of new stations. We got areas picked out for them, and they're in the near future.
Do we have any stations that are about to open right now, or are we pretty much everything's already open and built? For the time being?
For the time being, everything is built and open and staffed. We have a new station probably within the next 2 years we'll be breaking ground on. And after that, maybe 2 to 3 years after that, we'll have another one.
So the next fire station for Murfreesboro, where is that going to be?
Well, we got two locations right now. As a matter of fact, this last week I was tasked with getting some more data, seeing where it was needed first. We're looking at on Veterans Parkway, right there next to where the new park's going to be, and also in the Joe B. Jackson area. There's a lot goes into that. The infrastructure is at one place and it's not at the other. So it's kind of, like I said, you know, a balancing act. If we build in one spot and got to put in the infrastructure, it may take too long, so we may do the other one first, and just depending on some of that data comes back too.
So the one, the area that you're looking at, you know, out towards that new park, Veterans Park on Veterans Parkway, that's closer to 840, and then Joe B. Jackson one, that would be closer, I guess, to I-24.
That is correct. It would be close to I-24. You could go right up and hit 840 and over to 24.
What would be the closest fire department for that location now?
For right now, it would be, we have a station on Fortress Boulevard, Station 11, that would come that way. And we also have one on Florence Road, which is Station 5 that would come.
Okay.
Station 5 is the closest one. That would be the first one to come in right there. Then also on down the other end of Veterans, we have Station 10 that's a mile or so off Church Street.
And then when you look at Joby Jackson as an example there, there are a lot of warehouse-type buildings there, a lot of warehouse space and things along those lines, distribution centers. Is that an area that is harder to serve than, let's say, the Avenue, as an example, retail businesses? What area is usually tougher?
It's two different types. The warehouse type is mainly stuff stored, and you don't have as many people, so that cuts down on your medical calls. Like at the Avenues where people are at, there's more people, you may have more medical calls. And smaller businesses with maybe the possibility of more fires. But on the other hand, the warehouses, different types of fires, so you need different type of equipment to fight those fires because they're usually pretty tall buildings where you need to consider your aerials for that type of occupancy.
You know, I didn't even think about the size, the height of the buildings, but we only have, let's see, one 15-story building here in town, downtown Murfreesboro. But I'm sure there is a big possibility that we're going to see more tall buildings at some point.
It is, and there's a certain limit that you can get as far as an aerial, how high you can go, and that just goes back to going into the building and going up to the floor, you know, taking the stairway.
Are we equipped for more big buildings? I mean, if another one were to be built tomorrow, is everything on par for that with the fire department?
It is. We have the equipment we need. The only thing that we could do different maybe is go a little bit higher in aerials, but that's not a factor unless you come in to rescue, you know, exactly. But like I said, you can only get so high with aerials. But today's codes, fire codes and building codes, these buildings are built pretty fire safe.
Now, with the population increase that we've seen over the years, I know right now Murfreesboro Fire is involved in going door to door to help for the census and bring in those numbers to get the count correct.
That is correct. The city started special census back a few weeks ago. We hadn't gotten a response like we'd like to have, but we've done this in the past. You just got certain people that are not going to pay any attention to what they're getting and not send it in. So we will be going door to door to the people that have not filled them out and try to get them to fill them out while we're there.
Did you already start that this past weekend?
We have done just a little bit, you know, with Monday being a holiday. That was kind of our kickoff day. Then the weather turned bad. I see next week, maybe even this weekend, with the weather changing and getting up in the 60s, we'll probably be hitting it pretty hard.
And what kind of response do you get from folks when you go to their door? Because I'm sure they're not expecting a fireman to show up.
No, they're not expecting. Of course, people nowadays don't seem like they expect anybody to come to the door. But usually we're in our fire truck, we're in our uniform, so when they do see that we're with the fire department, they usually respond to us.
They don't get freaked out right at first. Well, what are you doing here?
We have. It's like, you know, if something's wrong, you know, then we explain to them about the census.
When you look at all the other duties that Murfreesboro Fire are responsible for or take part in, what are some of those other things? Because, for example, we've got a lot of houses with fire alarms. We have a lot of houses with burglar alarms. Are those things that you go and inspect, or are those outside of your area of expertise?
Well, the fire alarm systems, now, of course, we don't do anything with burglar alarms. The fire alarm systems, they're usually installed by a company and monitored by a private company. If they have issues with them, we'll ask people to get in touch with that company that's installing them. Now, we do have a smoke detector program that are the battery-operated ones, and we go around and install those in people's houses that may not have one. And from time to time, they'll call back, and we'll go change the batteries for them.
With those false alarm calls that come from somebody's either home or business system, you know, their fire system that they have in place, do you get a lot of those types of calls?
We do get several. To the point to where when we do receive an alarm like that, unless it's called in as an actual fire, we'll just send, like on a commercial building, we'll send the first truck in emergency traffic and the second one in non-emergency, because they have such a high percentage of being false alarms. That way we're not sending the five or six trucks that may be responding emergency traffic to the city for just a false alarm. Do the same thing for residential too. It's, you know, in my career, I've seen a few alarms go off in houses where there was actual fire, but the majority of them are going to be false. It's people burn something on the stove maybe, or a steam sets them off in the shower, or just actually having trouble out of them.
Is there a charge or a fine if they have X number of calls that are false?
No. Well, we do have a system in place to fine people, but it's mainly in place for people that just refuse, especially commercial businesses, to refuse to get them fixed. It's like if we come out here so many times in a week's period, we're going to have to do something to make you get this fixed. But it's in with reason. We know that they can't get out there that day. And there's things they can do, put the system on test until they get out there, to keep us from getting those false alarms.
Again, Murfreesboro Fire Chief Mark McCleskey with us this morning. Over the years, I'm sure not only you, but the guys that work underneath you, they've seen a lot of different calls. They've seen a lot of bad accidents. I mean, there's a lot that goes into the day-to-day life of a fireman, but kind of talk a little bit about what they do see each day that may be hard for them, or things that they enjoy about it.
Well, the hard things is dealing with death, especially children, on these medical calls or fire call, or someone passes away in a house fire or any kind of fire, vehicle crashes, seeing young people killed like that. It seems like the younger age affects you more than the older people, but they see this on a day-to-day basis, you know, and just seeing somebody's home with all their stuff they've had for years just, you know, burn up, and something we couldn't do about it. But there's a lot of good things to it too. You know, when you go to someone's house and it was on fire and you was able to save their stuff, that's a good feeling for them. Or, you know, you have a sick patient and you may be to the point to where you're doing CPR on them, then a week later they come back by the fire station and see you and thank you for it. It's always the two sides to each story. You know, sometimes it's horrible and sometimes it's a great outcome.
I remember there was an accident a couple of years ago over by the university, and from the sound of it, it sounded like there was a fairly young guy who was involved in the car wreck. It sounded like, you know, he wasn't going to make it, but you guys got there in time and saved him. And the fire department was actually right down the street from where the intersection where the accident happened. But I think he and his father stopped by one of the fire stations to thank them.
Yes, I do remember that. That was a horrible accident to where the gentleman was pinned into his car and the car was on fire. I remember that. And the guys with their training, it was just muscle memory. They went in and did their job to where nobody on the scene at the time could do anything for him. They had to use our extrication tools. A lot of people refer to them as Jaws of Life. Best I can remember that one of the firemen pulled a hose line, put it on the fire to keep the fire and heat off of him. The other one cut the door off and the other ones pulled him out, and he made a pretty much a full recovery. And if it wasn't for our quick response and the men and women of our department doing such a good job, he had no chance.
You know, what's got to be harder is, I guess a lot of times you don't know the end result of that patient. You don't know the end result of how are they doing today? Did they survive? You know, what happened next? Because you literally take them to an ambulance takes them to the hospital. And then after that, what's the follow-up? Is there any?
We try to follow up on certain patients like that. Just want to know the outcome to see if what we did for the patient made a difference. It is hard sometimes, you know, under the HIPAA rules, that you're trying to get information from. But we'll, like on a bad car wreck, we'll, you know, maybe cut the patient out and do some life safety medical treatments on them, then load them in a helicopter and they're going to the Vanderbilt or even over here at St. Thomas, you know, by ground. And we never hear about that patient again. We have had situations, this is some of the good points, you know, was talking about those people knowing they come back and find out who did help them and come into the fire station and thank the people. But sometimes you never hear another word out of them, just don't know what happened to them.
That's got to make it harder to do that job, because you don't know in the positive cases where somebody does survive, if they don't come in and say thank you, you don't know if they survived.
You don't know. Sometimes we may have a little bit of connection, somebody knowing maybe a nurse that worked on them, and something's like, hey, they're doing okay, that's all I can tell you, or they made a full recovery and they've gone home. But I wish there was some kind of better system where we could watch the progress of the patients, you know, and see what's happening with them.
That's got to be even more convoluted in bigger cities like Nashville, Memphis, Atlanta. I mean, you would literally never find out in those cases.
Most definitely. It just, going through the process, there's just no way to keep up with them.
Again, Mark McCluskey with us this morning. So as we close, what is next for the fire department? Is it just that figuring out which location you're going to open the next fire station at, or is there something more happening today?
Right now, we're in good shape. We're going to figure out what this station, where we need to put it, and we'll be moving forward to building a new station. Then we'll have to hire the personnel to go in it, new equipment for it. You know, there's some new technology come down the line with some programs and software and hardware we're buying, and just trying to stay ahead of the game. But we're always looking to the future and seeing what's best for the fire department in the city of Murfreesboro.
And when you look at outfitting that new station with new equipment, that's got to be a big task because there is so much available today with technology.
It is. You know, just the fire trucks or fire engines themselves have changed so much in the last several years. They offer so many different things. I mean, even now you can get an electric fire truck if you wanted one.
Would that even pay off? I mean, it just...
Well, I'm not sure. It's kind of new technology. And actually, some of the equipment for the electric fire truck has been built here in Murfreesboro. It's the Oshkosh company that's building, I believe, the electric garbage trucks.
Interesting.
It's the same ones that are building the electric fire trucks. So they're doing some of the stuff here in this plant for the fire trucks, but they're not assembling here, but it is here in Murfreesboro.
That's wild. An electric fire truck. I mean, yes. I guess once you get to the scene of the fire truck, for the most part, could be turned off, right? Or does it need to be on?
Well,
what happens?
That's the thing about it. It still has to have the diesel engine. It's good for making your everyday calls, maybe medical calls, small fires. But once that battery gets low, that diesel engine has to kick on and take place for it. Because I have seen fires in my past where a fire truck is on the scene for 24 hours pumping water. Of course, electrical fire truck is not going to be able to do that.
So you got redundancy built into that fire truck.
Correct. Okay. Correct.
And again, when you look at the future for Murfreesboro, we're going to continue to grow. There's no doubt about that. But do you have to order these fire trucks, you know, 2 years, 3 years in advance when opening a new fire hall?
We do. We have to look at that, you know, see what type of truck we're going to need for that territory. And we basically need to start ordering it just about the same time you start planning to build the station.
Because it takes that long to build?
It does.
And
it
wait.
Takes. It's a minimum of about 2 years right now to get in a new truck.
Man, that's a long time.
It is.
Fire Chief Mark McCluskey with us today, celebrating 40 years at Murfreesboro Fire Rescue. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome.